I know y'all like spooky stuff, but I'm not that person. I don't like logic, I don't like reason, and I don't like fakes. So, we got to live outside of those lines. So we need to find some different lines to live inside of. And literally, I'm probably going to seem a little bit hot for you to handle. I just came out of the mountains of Mexico working with where the cartels live as well. And a lot of death and violence around, and you become as your environment is. You light up against it. I am a soldier of the gospel. I will not submit to the devil. Do you understand? And I'm not bluffing. So this is how I want to start out by telling you a really hard story. It's going to make you quite quiet because it's really close to your border. Some of our churches got attacked last year. I didn't know it. It was kept from me by my pastors. I don't know why. Well, I didn't know why when I first started finding it out. You got it going, Isaac? It ain't going to work. Well, here, let me have a phone in case my wife calls. There's only one call I have to take. Rest of y'all, I ain't taking it. Sorry, but you are important to heaven. It's true. My world is quite simple. Jesus is king and Ms. Hogan's awesome. That's the end of that. So everything else is flexible. But I want to tell you a story you're going to find it quite hostile. This world you live in, this plastic fake idea y'all call life up here, hiding out from reality, trying to find a cul-de-sac where you can put that stupid dog with a little cone on with the stupid painted toenails. Dude, are you serious? Cook the thing and eat it. So, you see, I've learned how my traipsing around the planet, I've learned how to make friends and influence people. Listen to me. Fire's going to touch you. If you don't want that, please go home and watch basketball or something. There's going to be some fire blast you that you may not have felt before. There's a new touch of heaven on us. It's rising. It's not diminishing. I know y'all got the songs, you got the look, you know the phrases, but you don't have the power. And that's what we need. We need the power. And I'm going to tell you a story here that is awful. The reason I got tangled up in it is because I'm dad. You stay long enough for one reason or another, if you stay with your wife, because I've been married 46 years to the same person. Yeah. And if you stay long enough in an area serving God, you outlive everybody, the adulterers, the embezzlers, and all of those politicians, and all of those people leave eventually. And if you're still there serving God, you become the dad, and you inherit the kingdom. That's what I've learned how to do, stay stable and straight. You understand? All right. But by being dad, you also have to clean up hell's messes. And there's a lot of them sometimes. And they're not awesome, any of them hardly. There's this lady that is, to me, one of the most, I don't know a whole lot of awesome people besides Miss Hogan. But this lady is. She was a kid when I first got there, like a toddler. And now she's grandma. And we've been together her whole life. I found their tribe is Huasteco Indians, down here by Tantayuca, Veracruz, and we went out there and been there. I've been there ever since with them. And now we're three generations deep in that family. So this is important for you to understand what longevity means. Your God is eternal. Lose the short term anything. Think in eternal kingdom, eternal results. And you'll start hearing God and seeing God. You understand? Okay. I just want to tell you this. I got a couple of verses I want to share, a couple of more miracles, and boom, we get to do some fire stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully it goes like that. The other day we was in a service. I studied for 2 hours for this one little thing to say to these folks, about 300 of our pastors, never even got to talk. God walked in and thought I had the wrong message, and he just knocked them out. What do you say when the boss comes? Yes, sir. It's truth. Jesus is king. I'm going to say this to you. I'm a soldier, and I'm bad to the bone. You hear me? Now then. I mean that. But I'm not here to curse you. I want to. I want to rebuke you till your socks fall off. But I don't see where that got me anywhere when I used to do that. Just made more enemies than I already had. So this is what I'm going to do. Instead of curse you, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your land. I'm going to bless your marriages. I'm going to bless your kids, your grandkids. I'm going to bless your companies and your jobs. I bless this land in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and power over this land in the name of Jesus. Life and godliness to this land in the name of Jesus. I refute and rebuke the devourer over you in the name of Jesus. Shakaba tabaraba shataba. I went to church. This lady she's quite aggressive. She's one of my daughters of faith, and I really believe she believes, this lady. I don't know a person on the planet more aggressive in faith than her. And I preach in every continent with lots of people now. This lady is awesome. And she's a little tiny Huasteca lady, Indian. And she can do anything, heal anybody, any disease. Man, it's so awesome. But we made these enemies mad, which that's my job. You walk out into the unreached people and you look at the biggest demon you can find and you spit right in his face and slap him as hard as you can. And then you cringe because it's on. And that's what I do for a living. And we did that. And I'm not going to debate this with you. You ultimate grace people are foolish. You're wrong. There's a war. And we are soldiers. Paul said, be militant, my son, in the faith. He didn't say nothing about calm. So, So this lady, what we've done is we've stirred up principalities and governing spirits. And so she got hit with an aneurysm and two strokes. I don't know what you know about all that, but I do that stuff every day. The odds of you getting a stroke and making it are slim. Two strokes, way below 20%. An aneurysm added, you're dead. So when she went down, her first thought was call Brother David. And see, you need to be that person. You don't need to pick your phone up and have somebody to call. You need to be that person. And in Jesus, that's who you are. Hell has talked most of us out of that. And I'm going to help you with that tonight. You are sons and daughters of Zion. You are nothing less. If you love Jesus, hell is afraid of you. Your circumstances and what hell has trained you to believe is not relevant. Your inheritance is what's relevant. Jesus is king. And so my son Jody, he always knows where I'm at. He calls me. I'm in Europe. He's, Dad, so-and-so's down, aneurysm, two strokes. She's not going to make daylight. I said, you listen to me. You go get one of my handkerchiefs out of my closet, and you go and tie it around her head and tell her I said live. It don't make any difference to me what the witch doctors y'all call doctors say. They speak of medical terms, chemicals, medicines, and in their limited knowledge, they're right about what they're saying. But that's not who we are. We are set apart. We are a holy people. We are chosen of the Lord. So we're different. So they did that. They went by, I don't know how many of them went and prayed. Lots of them did. And she didn't get any better. And then she finally started getting better. Finally got the message from these satanic priests. The Santa Muerte priests came after us to kill us. Started with her. Had a whole list of us they were going to kill, and then they had trouble killing her. Then they started dying. Now all of them are dead, and we're alive. True. And now she's almost back to us, completely healed. In January, I was in a service where they were, and she's standing there. She's still got a crippled hand, and she's just observing me. And she can't do like she used to before she got whacked by hell. I have to go to her. She can't come to me. So I went over to her. What's up? ¿Qué te pasa? ¿Por qué me estás mirando tanto? Why are you looking at me so intently for? She said, te necesito, hermana. I need you, Brother David. I said, hay mucha gente que me necesita. There's lots of people that need me. She said, Brother David, my son's church was attacked. And I just froze and looked at her because I hadn't heard anything about it. I said, what do you mean? She said, yeah, the cartels came. Had a fight with the government while one of our churches was having church. The bullets between the two, because they're indiscriminate. In war, collateral damage is part of war. They weren't attacking us per se, but here's what you got to understand. Half of our church got their heads blown off. Oops. So now we have to make some choices. See, the little play the game thing, do the little four songs and an offering thing, it sucks. Because she looked me, this is this broken woman who we've been in war over, saving her life, and we lost half of one of their churches. I'm talking about women running, get grandmas, getting their grandkids and heads popping, pow, 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 in front of everybody. You have no idea the horror that I'm disclosing to you of the truth of the gospel. While you sit and play games and you piss and moan about the wrong color carpet or chairs. Well, I don't like you sometimes. But I'm not allowed to curse you, so I have to back up from that. I need you to wake up. Because the thing has crossed the border now. Ya llegó a Texas. Ese demonio. His demon got here now. We'll see how y'all handle it now. And here's what she said to me. And she, tears, of course tears were flowing. She had a grandkid or two get popped. You grandmas understand what I'm fixing to say to you. This is her words. You are coming, Brother David. I said, no, I'm not. If I go up there, they'll kill all of us. I'm the wrong color. Just by being an American, they'll shoot all of us if I'm there. She said, no importa, Cristo vive. Doesn't matter, Jesus is alive. And you're coming. I said, you need to be sick again. She says, te necesitamos, papá. We need you, Poppy. Says, no quiero ir. I don't want to. Tengo temor. Me matan ahí. I'm scared. They'll kill me there. She said, a lo mejor. For sure they will. I said, okay, I'll be there. Now you have to understand what I said when I said yes. You understand the shock that went through hell. They did their best. You can't get any more damaging than killing half the children in our church and grandmas and wives. And in life, it don't get any more horrible than that. But I couldn't sleep. I found myself nervous. But it worked out for my grandson to go with me. So what lunatic would take their grandson with them to a cartel stronghold and expect him to go with you? I told my grandson, you're going with me. You know what his response was? Yes, sir, Papa. So this is how it worked out. I went to my son, Jody. He's a real strong fella, that guy. And I said these words to him. Look here, you heard I'm going to the cartel land? He said, I did. He said, I said, I'm taking your boy with me. You know what his words was to me? I'd rather him die beside you preaching the gospel if that's what it takes. I said, deal. This is how it is in my family. Y'all's family has never said those words to each other. And that's sad to me. maybe you, but not, you can't speak for them. And I started having second thoughts about me going, then about taking my grandson, and then this dad thing is overrated, I thought. But then a day came and we decided to take my truck because you saw my truck. It thing's nice. I have one of the best civilian four-wheel drives made by men. It's really a nice vehicle. We thought mine would be better than my grandson's. His is nice as well. It's just a Mitsubishi and mine's a Dodge. So we chose the Dodge. Lots of reasons. Has to do with 500 horsepower. Mine has that and his don't. His has like 85 or something. Why would we bring a sewing machine when we need a bulldozer? It's truth. We get there, they met me because I wouldn't let them tell me directions. I made them come meet me so that if I got hit, they got hit. In a war zone, nothing's safe. Y'all, I drove up in there, my heart was beating, you could see my shirt bouncing because of the fear that was on me. My grandson was standing so close to me, we looked like one human. He's a big boy, a guy. Then five truckloads of ex-cartel people came that are from some of our churches. They just heard we was going to be there, so they came. They used to be in the war, and now they're part of us, a different war. And while I'm standing there, this woman walks up to me, grabs my shirt. Now, this gospel I'm fixing to say to you, you need this experience. She grabs my shirt, puts her head down, which is not cultural for them, for Americano. She put her head right here and is bawling. She said, I want my grandkids back. I watched their brains get blown out of their head. Help me. So, now I know what you're going to be cute, your little cuteness like he was, ha ha ha, a while ago. Shut up. You understand? What do you tell people that will fix them when the grandma has watched the grandkids' heads get blown off? What gospel is there? Worrying about not having carpet is not the right gospel. Worrying about 1 or 2 degrees on the air conditioner is not the right kind of gospel. So I held her, which is illegal as well. And I ask God for mercy because I ain't got nothing to say to her. I don't know what I can say to her. If I don't have the anointing of the gospel, I can't help her. Do you understand me? You don't need counseling sessions. You need the fire of God. You don't need cute, catchy phrases and quips and quotes and cuteness. You need demonstration of mercy. She was holding me and crying. She wet my whole front of my clothes with tears. And I let her. So I had nothing. There's nothing I could say. I'm sorry. Don't cut it. It does matter, but it don't cut it. then all of a sudden, I don't know why, but the fire of God hit the place. Flipped her a complete somersault. The whole rest of the time I'm there, she's quivering in the dirt. She's being healed by the Holy Ghost. Fire came on us. 6 cartel members walked in off the street and got born again. Come on. Yeah. That is so awesome. You know what they told me when I left? Thanks for the restart. See, this gospel that you are part of is very powerful. Yes, we got the fire whipped out of us. Yes, I wish it would have been different than it was. No, I don't like it. No, I'm not comfortable with it, and I ain't okay with it, no matter what you say to me about the will of God and God's perfect nothing. I don't care what you say. Burying grandbabies is wrong under those circumstances. Do you hear me? And I ain't going to take it from you, so don't say nothing. You saw I was a little short with him a while ago. I ain't going to take it. Living it is different than you having your opinion in this atmosphere. Do you understand? And I'm not here to bash you. I'm here to open your eyeballs. The truth wants to come into your world. You need to let it in. You can help this environment by you being a Christian. You hear me? Okay. Now, told you it wasn't happy. Then I left with my fancy truck and everything. We got back to where my wife was, and next morning we load up there. I can't tell you where. I'm not. And my truck started stuttering. And it's not. It's new. It don't stutter. It just does its job and shuts up. Well, we got to the border down here at Brownsville. I never even kept going. I stopped off at Don Johnson's Dodge store down there, dropped that truck off. They said, "How is this truck running?" I said, "What?" The master computer in my truck was fried. There you go. We thought we had a plan. God's got a better plan. Keeping us alive. Helping us, showing us just who he is to us and how he can help my truck run. Because all your modern vehicles don't run without those computers. And my computer was completely fried, but the truck was running. You need to say, "Oh my. Your God is bad to the bone. He loves you. He will help you. He will energize you. He is so with you and for you. You are his favorite son and daughter." That's who you are. You understand? All right. And church is running fine again. We're recovering these people, their emotions and everything. That's what we do. That's what the gospel's for. Hello? All right. Regardless of what the cartel does or the government or anybody else, Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Now, I want to do a couple Bible verses God got on me, and there's this new fire and all this stuff's happening awesome, and been around the planet a few times in the last few months, and all the continents and greatness is happening. And I know you're hearing about the wars and rumors of wars. They're also happening. But our responsibility is not to worry about what hell's doing. Our responsibility is what heaven's doing. Yes. And so I want to share this verse. There's a thing in James that's been on me the last 10 or 12 days, and somehow it won't get off, so I'm not going to let it. I'm going to do it. James 1. It's been bugging me, so we're going to talk about it just for a minute. Now, Amplified, okay with y'all? Is that all right? I really like to amplify it. Guys like me that need a lot of words to understand what's going on helps them out. All that these and thou junk from y'all's King James stupidity. Oops. Has to be said, I might as well be the one. I can take the punishment. Because I'm the guy standing there, let the grandma hold him. You understand that? Yeah. So, we'll do something a little more cheerful. Is that all right? You okay? All right. James 1, 21. You can ask him. He was down the other day in our work. Same thing. It's always the same thing. I just get up there, blow my horn a little bit, and read a couple of verses, and we do fire. That's all there ever is. But it raises the dead, so it seems to work. Well, I got a new story I'm going to tell you in a minute. It just happened out in California. My God, it's amazing. Well, we're not there yet. James chapter 1, verse 21. Now, this is Amplified speaking. Get rid of uncleanness. This is command form words. I speak several languages, and I know these tenses and things now. These are not optional for you. You believe you can vote God in and out of things and have your way about it, and we can get a committee together and we can make God do it our way. That's not true. This works. It's called the Word of God. Get rid of uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. In your government, in your society, y'all are disoriented. You don't have direction anymore. You've thrown out a little bit of direction looking for some freedom, and you bought yourself more sin. I hope you're happy with that, because you did it. This generation sitting in this room, this body of Christ allowed it to happen. So we're going to accept responsibility for it, and we're going to ask God for mercy. And we're going to ask him to turn the thing before it hits a wall. Do you understand me? Because there's a new wave of energy that is falling on the planet. It's the biggest, most powerful wave ever. I'm not a guy that likes prophets. I don't like prophets. Because in the Bible, prophets, when they came to town, everybody trembled and God backed their words. Nowadays, they come and they speak to you about your stupid dog with the comb. Yea, thus saith the Lord, your stupid dog with the comb will live. I mean, who cares? That's supper. We don't care. Gee whiz. In the days of old, when the prophets came, the prophets raised the dead. They don't do that anymore. They just fleece you and leave and tell you how awesome you are as long as you fatten their pocketbook. And I disagree. Has that been clear yet? We need the power of God. We don't need more fleecing and more religion. We need the power of God. It comes through the fire. It comes through the presence, through the mercy. Yes, it does. So we're going to get rid of the outgrowth of wickedness. All right? This is scriptural stuff I'm reading to you. It's called rampant outgrowth. And this is a long time ago. And in humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word. See, it's the word of God that has the power. It's the word of God that has the power. It's the word of God that has the power. It's the word of God that has the power. Welcome the word which, implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power. Do you see that? It says that right there in those words. It's the word that contains the power. We have to spend our time with the word, undoing it, figuring it out, and unraveling it so the power can come in us. I've done that and am doing that. Presently, I'm up around 100, 120 chapters a day that I listen to every day. I'm possessed with getting this in me, becoming like God's word, so that I can do the job for this end time harvest thing that's coming. There was 5 prophets spoke to me last year, 2 more different ones this year. So it's 7 prophets, and they all have the same exact word, and they're all from different nations, and three of them know each other, but the rest of them don't know each other. There is an energy coming, negative and positive, but I'm a positive guy. That's why I'm not going to curse you. I disagree with you, but I'm still not going to curse you. I bless you. God's coming. God's coming. God's coming. Energy is being released. We need to be receivers, receptors. We need to be the one with our hand up when the lightning bolt falls. We need to be the highest thing around in praise and worship so that it'll hit us first. My Bible says, welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your heart contains the power. That's what this says. And all of you believe it's money or politics or getting a group of people to see your opinion. That is not power. That's a temporary patch on a broke system. We need honesty, truth, and God. More of Him, more rules, more submission, not less. With Heidi and Roland and Bill Johnson and Randy Clark and John Arnott, all of these great men, you know why they don't like me? They love me, but what they don't like about me, I'm too strict. But buddy, when it's time to raise the dead, who do you think they call? When it's time to go into uncharted waters we know are full of sharks and rocks, they want me at the helm because I got my hand up saying, bring it. We got this. Jesus is king. It's the word that contains the power. It's not the men. It's the word of God in the man. I'm right about this. Jesus loves you so much. Hell has convinced you otherwise. When are you going to wake up and call hell who Jesus called him? You father of lies, shut it. John 8:44, Jesus called the devil the father of lies. Today's a good day to start. Because today is the day of salvation. All day long. Verse 22. Be doers. See, that's me. See me? Look at me. See me? I'm a doer. You see this hand right here? 35 dead raisins. This one. Right here, this hand. You won't, you don't know anybody. There ain't anybody else. I know one more that's got more. And he's one of my guys, and I'm going to beat him eventually. I'm only one dead raising behind him. I will catch him and pass him. And he laughs at me just like you just did. And I'm threatening him every few minutes. I'm coming. Doers, say it. That's me. I'm a doer of the word. Say it. When you say I'm a doer of the word, what are you saying to me? I am a doer of the power. Because it's the word that contains the power. And I'm a doer of the word. I'm a doer of the power. So when you speak to me, you need to know what you're saying to me. Otherwise, I'll be fussy with you. I'm not afraid of anything, buddy. I stay in trouble with everybody because my mouth is just, I don't know, it works. And when you don't have fear, you get yourself in trouble regular. My wife tells me every now and then, you know that fearless thing is awesome, but you need to understand it keeps you in trouble. And I look at her, is that good or bad? She says, have at it. I will follow you, she says. Doer, say it, that's me. Doer, say it, that's me. When you hear that word, doer, that. How'd you know that was me? Doer. Doer of the word. Let's go back over what the word is. Right here in this thing. 21. Welcome the word. All right. Shh. Word, you are welcome. So who is the word?
Jesus.
So when you're inviting Jesus, you're inviting the word. The word contains the power. That's what it says. Be doers of the word. Obey the message. Because it's the message that has the life that brings you the freedom. The gospel. The good news. The message. Jesus is alive. Jesucristo vive. Está resucitado. No está muerto, está vivo. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Boy, I got the best job. You ought to see, look, some of y'all are barely mad. That makes me so happy. I'm going to sleep so good tonight knowing I ruffled some religious twit demon's feathers. Doer of the word. Say, that's me. Obey the message. That's me. I'm obedient. Say it. Not merely listeners. See, most of you in here, I don't know hardly any of you. I recognize a couple of faces. But most people in this room, all you do is flow from conference to conference to conference. You are the fattest spiritual people that's ever been, but you can't even run one marathon. I'm 66. Thank you. I don't look like it. Thank you. Thank you. I'm 66 years old. Now look, from the top up here, where this white is, it used to be a different color, to the bottom over here, I'm healed. I confess to you, I'm healthy. That's odd. In this country, my age, That's awesome. Something else I'm going to say to you. In 2 weeks, me and this boy right here sitting on the front, Luis Alberto, my son, are going to run our 32nd marathon in the last 5 years. What? Say what? It's true. And for the next 5 years or so, I'm going to be running a marathon every other month for, I don't know, probably forever. I don't know. Why? That's the question, isn't it? Because that look on that face y'all gave me a while ago, that's enough satisfaction for me. Because I'm healthy. There ain't one joint on me that has pain in it. Or, golly, you got to understand how awesome that is. Some of y'all know what that means. That ain't even possible. And you're right. But there are consequences to doing the Word of God. It's called health. There are consequences for being obedient. Just like there's consequences for being disobedient. All we ever fuss at people about is the disobedient stuff. But let's talk about the obedience for just a minute. I'm healed. Now you can disagree with me. You can fuss and cuss and spit. You know what I'm going to say to you? And I'm going to walk. And I'll be running my marathon while they pushing you around in a wheelchair. And you'll be madder than me. Because it's hard doing those marathons. And I get mad about it. But I get over it after I'm finished. When you step that one step across that line and you actually did it, that's a pretty good feeling. Sure does feel good. Why am I talking this to you? Because I want to intimidate you. I want you to know there's more to it and that you're not getting all the juice out of the lemon. You need to re-squeeze that thing. You put too much sugar in there. We need some more sour. We need a little bit more health to go along with this. And I eat whatever I want to. Man, we was running a while ago over there at that the blue hole thing over there on San Marcos. We was doing, I have to run 8 or 9 miles every day so I won't be overbearing on you. I have to deal with some of this energy. I know that sounds like a joke. It's not. You need me to burn my energy out there in the heat than in here. We rolled up on, and it was Saturday, right? And y'all know what y'all do on Saturday. Everybody and their brothers out there cooking barbecue. I smelled it. I said, "You smell that barbecue?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Find it." I said, "You got any money?" He said, "I brought my wallet." I said, "Good. Get us all the biggest sausage they got. Pork with grease." You don't know why? Look at me. I can take it. It'll hit my system and go, poof. My furnace is burning. Throw anything in there. You need to light it up a little. You let this leisurely life of luxury and success overwhelm you to believe that it's you. It never was you. It was always mercy. You believe in blessing. You need to believe in God. Come on. I'm not mad at you. You ought to see me when I am. It's not today. Don't be mere listeners, please. I have decided to do this, and all the way to the end. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be healthy. All I'm going to do is pray, fast, work out, and preach. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything else. I do go with my grandkids. When I get back in a couple of days, I got a first thing on the list. You know what it is? After fishing. That's a given. Chuck E. Cheese. Granddaughter's birthday. Four of them. All they say, I get texts every day now, all day long. Papaw, we still going to Chuck E. Cheese? All I ever say is, of course we are. You just got to find me, that's all. And they all know where I'm going to be because they coming. Not mere listeners. It's okay with God to eat Chuck E. Cheese with your grandkids. That ain't nothing wrong with that. But he wants you healing the sick, raising the dead as well. He wants you out there running marathons with me as well. He wants your body so healthy, you got so much energy, you have to burn some of it like I do. That's important at my age to have that kind of energy. Do you understand me? You people that are over 50, you say yes.
Yes.
Rest of you still got an S. Some of it's faded, but you're still there. Look what it says in my Bible. Listeners only. Betraying yourself. See, this is why I have to wake you up. I'm not betraying you. You're doing it to yourself. Listen to me. You can blame it on whoever, whatever, past life, past demon, past curses. Dude, it's you. You need a dadgummit. Wake up, stop it, and do something else. Because what you're doing ain't working. Come on, wake up. Please, you're awesome. You're Texans, for heaven's sakes. What else am I going to say? I'll get stoned if I don't say that. And I've been stoned enough. It ain't awesome to be stoned. It makes a good newsletter, though. But Texas ain't the place because I also have a pistol. So there you go. My stones are hot. All right. Don't betray yourself. I need you to wake up. It's not mama. It's not daddy. It's not husband. It's not wife. It's not enemies. It's you not submitting. We need to rethink what we're doing. And what we're doing should be the Word of God. Because the Word of God contains the power. What you're looking for is not some magic pill I'm going to have you take when you come up here in a minute. It's going to fix all your problems. That's foolishness. You believe that. It's wrong. It's you receiving from God discipline to go to the Word and receive the power. Please. Because I too am educated. Shakaba. But I choose to believe this. It's a choice. Holy Ghost. If anyone who listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who carefully looks at himself in a mirror, and after he thoughtfully observes himself, he goes off and promptly forgets. I don't forget. In the morning, I'll wake up probably 5 o'clock. Every day it's between 4 and 5. Get up. First thing you do is hit the little button on this thing right here. Can't cheat no more. These things are pretty smart. Can't. What's this? How many buttons is it? 1, 2.
Genesis, capítulo 1.
3 or 4, you're in. That's not very hard. It's a matter of discipline. Everybody wonders, why does he get it? This guy's a lunatic. Because I do what he said. It's the word of God. It contains the power. You do it, you'll win. This morning about 7 o'clock, that guy was over there. This fellow was in a bind. His problem was some kind of disease got a hold of him, and they couldn't get it. The doctors couldn't fix him. And so, you know what his response to it was? Buddhist Hindu mantras with the Bible, with spiritist healers. Are you serious? You're the most confused knucklehead I've been around in a day or two. No. I said, look at me, son. Throw all the rest of the garbage away. Turn the Bible on every morning. Give me 6 months. Minimum of 10 chapters a day. You'll be healed in 3. Faith comes by and hearing by bam. Soon as I said, in Jesus' name, just like that, in Jesus' name, immediately he started vomiting. Heaving. I mean, demons just clawing him. I had to run and get towels and bring all these guys in there to pray. And this morning at daylight, what I was doing before I went running my 9 miles. We can do this, y'all. Do you understand? You understand we can do this? We got this. Let's do another verse. Y'all seem bored. Really, it's me. It's boring, this stuff, boy, because it's so simple to me, and y'all just look at me. What? Okay. I'll try to be calm. Nehemiah 9. Because we was in the New Testament. Let's do some Old Testament stuff. So we kind of make it, you know, like it's the whole ball of wax. I can tell you I'm not going to get past this right here. I can tell you that. I feel it already. Damn. Verse 19. Nehemiah 9:19.
Y'all understand that?
My English? 9:9. 9:9. Diez y nueve. You in your great mercy forsook them not. Most of you sitting in this room are living like you are a forsaken little orphan. Praise the Lord. The church lives with an orphan spirit instead of a God. And I'm here to help us with that. You are not forsaken. God is not the one that forsakes. It's the humans that do. God did, it says it in the word of God, God did not forsake them. You are not forsaken. He loves you. You are loved. Let that happen. Let that love come upon you and your family, your finances, your job. The pillar of cloud departed not from them. Most of you in here believe in the wilderness experience or the valley experience. Pray for me, brother. The devil is on my back. I'm trudging through the wilderness of the Lord. Well, if there was such a thing, I might agree with you. There is no such thing. The river of God is always full. God is never out of water. You're just not always thirsty. You have other interests, and when they deplete on you and run out and cause you grief, then you blame it on other things except for you leaving God. I need you to come back to the Holy Ghost. I need you to be so on fire, everybody hates you like they do me. You need to be that person that they call. Do you hear me? You need to be that person. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day. Say it. I want that pillar of cloud. Say it. I want to see it. I want to walk in it. I want it 24 hours a day. I want that. Say it. Because see, God's not going to forsake you. He's not. It don't matter what hell says, does. It don't matter what your circumstances are, how rude, crude, disorderly, out of function, depleted you may be, God loves you. You are a son and a daughter of Zion. And you are no dog, nor are you a worm. For you that grew up in those denominations that preach that to keep you in line. Outside of Jesus, every one of us are worse than any dog and worm. But the moment you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you become a son. I am no one's dog, buddy. You bring that right on. I am a soldier of the gospel. I am a son of a living king. That's who I am. That's how I will act. And that will be my presentation. Jesus is king. But I'm not worthy. You're right. You're right. Until you apply the blood of Jesus to you. And if you believe that that blood is applied to you, then you are no worm for anyone. Understood? Ever. All right. Say it. I want the pillar of fire. Say it. Nor the pillar of fire by night to light their way should go. They didn't ever lose out. They were in with God. All we have to do is be obedient and we're in. It's simple. You understand me? If I can do this, anybody can. Verse 20. Look what it says. In Amplified, it says it like this. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them. Say it with me. I want the good spirit. I've had enough of the bad spirit. So I want the good spirit. In Jesus' name. I want the instruction of the Father. I want the pillar of fire. I want the pillar of smoke. I want to be cool when everybody else is hot. And I want to be on fire when everybody else is not. Because I want to be the one they call. In the name of Jesus. Now, let me tell you a story if it's okay. I was out there a few days ago in California. It was a few weeks ago now. And we was doing some meetings there in southern Orange County, right beside Hollywood, Hell Gate of the Universe. And I was there, and boy, I really like that Huntington Beach thing. Boy, that's a nice place. And I was there, and I want you to go show these people in just a minute this little baby. All right. I want you to look at this picture. He's going to walk and let you look at it. I'm sorry. We tried to put it up on the thing. It didn't work out. So I got to use my little X phone thing. Do you know what free-spirited people are? They used to be called hippies. And they didn't work when they was in my day a hippie, and they don't work now. They're foolish. They are devils. Is that clear? Or should I explain more? You got it? But these people are wealthy. They're successful. And wealth, in most cases, is a trap. It makes you believe you're awesome. Not always, but most of the time. And in this case, these free-spirited wealthy folks got this mansion there in South Orange County. This massive swimming pool. And they got this little baby. And the little baby, y'all know toddlers, they gonna get away from you. I am the best grandpa in the world and they still escape. Dude, I'm a soldier. I stay alive by being alert. And yet a toddler will put you down every time. And this toddler gets away from his parents. Where do you think it went? Because they don't know that it will kill them. They don't understand why the gate's there. They think parents are foolish, stupid things. Kid got in that pool, drowned. Killed him dead. So what happened with the free-spirited people? They called 911 just like you will. It won't work for you either. But I know somebody that it will work. What we did, what happened was they pulled the baby out, took it to the hospital. Baby didn't come back to life, but the baby was alive on machines. I come. I don't like free-spirited people. I don't like the government's idea on how to run me. I don't like a lot of things. But that don't stop me from being a son of God. Do you understand? His opinion overrides my opinion. You understand? I'm real vocal with my opinions, but when it comes down to it, we choose his opinion. Understand what I just said to you? Okay. And so the pastor tells me, look here, Brother David, there's this kid, heard about it on the news. We went to these people because we knew you were coming. And we got these free-spirited people. They want to know if you'll come pray for their child. The baby's dead. I said, I will not. But they can pay the money and have the hospital bring the child to me. Oops. That sounds harsh to you because you live in the cul-de-sac with the stupid dog, remember? I don't. I live in the mountain with the cartel and everything out there will kill you and you need to be alert. So, okay. You walk around with your supper on a leash. We don't. I know you tell me, you should leave that alone. Really? Not long ago, I had some Samoans over. They're in the backyard with a knife and a thing looking at my dogs. No, you cannot eat my dog. They don't see them as dogs. They see them as supper. It's a true statement. We had to protect our animals. So, but no little plastic hat for them. They're dogs. They're outside. Got it? Okay. So, a church service just like this, all of a sudden enrolls medicine, enrolls doctors, machines, free-spirited people that do not believe in God, that hate me. They hate me. I disagree with them and am very vocal about it, but I don't hate them. You understand the difference? They roll up on me and that woman, y'all know what they look like, right? No underwear. Y'all know what they look like. They smelling of marijuana, little thing, marijuana thing sticking in their hair. I mean, that's who they are. They can't help themselves. They're lunatics. I'm not the lunatic. And I'm just looking at her. God, you suck. I hate you. Oh my God. And she rolls up on me, but in her arms with these tubes and machine things is this dead baby. Now, that changes things a little. Because like I told you, I'm the best grandpa in the world. And when she rolled up in there, foolish as she may be to me, that baby needs a chance. Do you understand me? And you looking at the chance. How do you know? How do you not? How do you not know? I do know. That doctor, they rolled that baby up in there with that mama's holding that child, and all of the disagreement that's going on, I asked her point blank. I said, look at me in the face, lady. You gonna let me pray for that kid? She said, absolutely. Thank you, ma'am. That's all I need. You understand that? I don't give a flying rat about her now. What she believes is irrelevant. It's me, God, and this baby now. It ain't no devil. It ain't no spirit of death. It's me, God, and the baby. Do you understand that? We are not forsaken in the wilderness. Do you understand? I am a son of God. I am not a forsaken orphan. Do you understand? Am I clear? So it's really easy. I'm going to show you how you do this. Don't be embarrassed, all right? She's not my wife or the grandma. Come here. And my wife was standing right here in the baby. So I just reaching up my wife's hand. It's simple. And I put my wife's hand on the dead baby. And I just looked at her and I said, do your grandma stuff. And I backed up. Thank you. You did great. Hopefully you messed his hair up, so. See, everybody wants me. It has never been me. It's always been the Word of God that contains the power. Do you understand? I am the guy that'll talk and wild and get in your face and bring it and do all that stuff. That's true. That is me. But when it comes right down to life and death, it's him. It's the Word that contains the power. And we are not forsaken. There's a pillar of fire available. There's a pillar of cloud available. And you see me? I'm what's called a believer. And I'm not afraid of that dead thing. And my wife, she didn't ever bat an eye. She just, Lord Jesus, help this baby. Just a simple prayer. I looked at her. It was supposed to have been a different prayer. But I didn't say nothing about my praying. I said something about her grandma's stuff, you know? And so that's what she did. I said, whatever. God heal this baby. Now, stand up, Brother Isaac. Go right around and show these people that little baby. 3 days after we prayed, they went back to the intensive care, natal intensive care thing. 3 days go by, and that little baby wakes up. There it is right there. Look at that. I want you to look at that. In the United States of America, just a few days ago, in Huntington Beach, California. Come on. Yeah. I want you to just take a second and just gaze at that little baby. Had no chance. It was dead. Made a mistake. Parents made mistakes. But since the baby came back to life, now all the whole family on both sides are born again. You understand? My opinion, dude, I have it and it's okay, but that has nothing to do with what happened. What happened is the Word of God contains the power, and a doer of the Word of God came and touched a dead baby and God responded. That's what happened. And that's how it happened. Something, huh? That right there is something. Y'all see that? I'm going back out there in December. You know what they said to me? They said, and the free-spirited mom's waiting on you to give you some hugs and kisses. Isn't that awesome? Don't you think that's awesome? I think it's awesome. I think I've been punished for the way I believe, persecuted, stoned, shot, left for dead, imprisoned, and I don't like that part. It's horrible. But I've been what's called aguantando me. What is that in English? Enduring. I've been enduring this persecution and this punishment in its own purpose. It's decision to want to be a doer of the word, to want the pillar of fire, to want the cloud, to try to understand that I'm not forsaken when it sure looks like it. When somebody just beats you down with clubs and drag you and put you in jail and urinated on you, that feels bad. But then all of a sudden you're laying over there in that little stupid jail and you hear keys and somebody opens the door and comes gets you and tends your wounds and you're free. And you don't know why. It's because I'm not forsaken. And the urine washes off. And the wounds heal. Now you can harbor it and be mad and disagree. I give you what you want. But as for me and my house, what are we going to do, Isaac? We're going to serve the Lord our God wholly. That's how it's going to grow. Because these verses just keep going. And I'm going to stop at the end of verse 20 here because I will throw some fire. It's time. I'm bored with this talking stuff. I don't like it. I'm ready to go home and eat a Subway or something. Or some Domino's chicken wings or something. Look at this, verse 20. Y'all need to meditate on this stuff because it contains the power. Verse 19, let's back up. Let's go back over it again. You in your great mercy forsook them not. That's enough for me for the rest of my life right there. Great mercy come to me. Do you understand me? I'm not forsaken. You got that? And I act like it. And it is abrasive. And I know that. But iron sharpens iron. Whatever's not iron breaks. Yes, sir. You and your great mercy forsook them not in the wilderness, the pillar of fire, come on, the cloud, to lead them and guide them on the way that they should go and light up their way. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. I want you to look at the end of verse 20. In the Amplified, this is what it says. You withheld not your manna from them, and you gave them water when they was thirsty. Many of y'all, you just knuckleheads, whiny bags. Listen to me. I don't get fed, bro. Hogan. Well, that's your fault. Because your daddy has provided warehouses full of food for you and drink. And protection and power and anointing and fresh oil. And you making bad decisions. You need to understand who's doing those decisions. It's not me. It's you. I need you to wake up, please. You're in a stupor. You are the greatest nation on the planet, one of them. And yet you're acting like spoiled brats. Wake up, church. It's time for us to arise. The energy's here. It's coming. It's on us. We need to grab it, eat it, and walk in it. In Jesus' name. Can we do that? Please. Stand up, will you? Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for your time. And let me have this back. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brother Isaac. You know, a few weeks ago, I was over in India. I went in 6 different locations in India. I was reading to them a while ago some meetings we had in India. Since the meetings 3 or 4 weeks ago in India, they sent me a thing. 36,782 people have been born again since the meetings. Wow. That's a big deal. That's a nice little rock you threw off the hill that turned into an avalanche. Wow. I like that, having that on my record. But I want to let you know about one guy I met. It's 2.5 days traveling just to get to the spot where you go up on a 4-wheel drive into the Himalayas. From right here in Houston, it's 2.5 days just to get there. And then you get to beat yourself up in the 4-wheel drive going up in the Himalayas. And then you need to get to dodge the bullets from the Chinese and the Nepalese and the Indian forces that are at war over there. Then you get to dodge the Hindu priest and the Buddhist priest that's trying to kill you because you're a Christian. But if you do make it, and we did, didn't we, Brother Isaac? We made it. It's the largest Buddhist statue in the world on the mountain where we was at. Things several hundred feet tall. On the next mountain is that snake god. What's her name? Shiva. She's the same height as the one on this side. And we were preaching right in the middle. True or not? That's so awesome. I like that so much. I couldn't have picked it better myself. And we're in there, and there's probably 1,500 people in there. They hiked from China, from Tibet, from Nepal, and they're up in there looking at us. They have no one. There isn't anyone. You here in the Houston area, you can get any flavor you want any day you want it. You know that. It's just like going to the ice cream store. 33 flavors with 100 toppings. And we're sitting there, and they brought in all these sick people, and I mean, these are some really harsh diseases. The ground was littered, covered with them. So what I do when I'm in these environments is I go get on the floor with the sick and crawl around and hold them, because that's who I am. You never know what love looks like. It may be 200 pounds and from a swamp in Louisiana. Never know. And they brought this kid in, young man, to you. Hadn't walked in 3.5 years. They brought him in a chair. And he's sitting there, crippled. And he's looking at us like we have lost our mind, like y'all are looking at me. And I have lost my mind, but I have obtained the mind of Christ in its place. And no kidding, y'all, this guy sitting there, and we're talking just like here, just talking, offending whoever I can, whatever devil's available, I slap them as hard as I can. Figure out what sacred cow's around and stick a knife in it. Try to bleed it out. And right in front of us all, for we don't know what reason, it wasn't apparent to us, this guy stands up, didn't he? Just stood up. I have it on here, but I can't get it to y'all. He just stood straight up, this crippled man, and picks his crutches up and starts dancing. Right in front of us all. We're all just going, what? Who told you you could do that? Holy Ghost. Say it. I want that. Say it. That's what I want. Say it. There he is. This is the only reason I found for a smartphone right here. Take good pictures. Crippled for 3.5 years. And Jesus walked in and touched him, and the man jumps up. Look at him. Running around with his crutches. Look at it does. See? I know you can't see it very well, but anyway, it's there. I want you to want this. I want you to want this. I want you to want this. Your God. The Word of God contains the power. See it?
The Word of God contains the power.
The Word of God contains the power.
The Word of God contains the power.
And I'm a doer of the Word. And I have not been forsaken.
I
am a son of God. And I walk in the pillar of fire. And I walk in the cloud of the Lord. And I eat the manna of heaven. And I drink the water of God. And I am healthy. In Jesus' name. Shalakataba. And you know what? It works.
Amen.
I got lots of pictures of this. I don't have time. Holy. Holy Ghost. I was supposed to read another verse to you, so I'll just quote it to you. Psalms 105, verse 37. There was not one feeble amongst their tribes. But yet, if you look in this room right here, everybody in here is feeble. Then something's wrong with what we're doing. The direction we're headed is crooked. It's not right. It's not producing what God wanted it to produce. So we're doing something wrong. So we need to change. Toward him. Can we do that? Please? So just start worshiping Jesus. So, you going to play that piano or y'all going to put on some stuff? I don't care. What do y'all normally do? I don't know. So, just Holy Ghost. So, this is how it's going to go. Woo. Woo. This is how it's going to go. It's going to go good. If you don't know Jesus and you're in this room, we're going to pray with you right now. Me or someone will. If you knew Jesus, but something legitimate knocked you off the trail, because most of the time it is legitimate, that disappoints you and gets you angry and you quit, we'd like to invite you back. If you've made some bad decisions and it's cost you everything or costing you everything and you've had enough, I'd like for you to come up here with me. If you need Jesus, come. And then if you're sick in your body, come and so forth. And we're going to do fire and we're going to have fun and play. And it's going to be good. So if you need Jesus, come in one of those categories. Don't be ashamed or afraid. Y'all are uncomfortable. I can tell that. I'm not uncomfortable. I'm blessed. Just come up to Jesus. If you need fresh fire, if you need fresh anointing, fresh oil, whatever it is your world calls it. If you need healing in your body, if you're incurable, come right up here. Don't be ashamed or afraid. Jesus is King.